Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com. Welcome to Sex with Simmery. This is Dr. Simmery. This is a very, very special and interesting episode, and I just want to preface it with the fact that this is very different than what we normally do on the show. Very often we talk to people about how their professional work interacts with sexuality, and sometimes it has to do also with their personal work. This particular episode, we're talking to a guest entirely about his personal life. This is not someone who talks about sexuality professionally. This is not someone who's ever told his story publicly. And in fact, our guest was brave enough to share the story with me. I'm the first person that he has really ever gone into this degree of discussion about his personal experience. So listen with a great deal of compassion for this incredibly brave story. It's very interesting. This is absolutely one of my favorite episodes ever to record, and I think you will find it absolutely fascinating. So thank you and enjoy. Welcome to Sex with Simmery. This is Dr. Simmery, and I'm very excited for today's episode. We are talking to often on the show, we talk to people who, you know, for their jobs or something like that is related to sex. But today we're going to talk to somebody whose personal life is just really interesting. So I am super excited to introduce Photo Pig. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
And you have been so gracious to join us and to talk about your personal life. And I'm very, very grateful.
I'm excited. It's just an addition to what I love to do.
So what is it? What is it that you love to do?
I love to expose myself.
And what does that mean in practicality? What does it mean when you say expose yourself?
I love to show myself in humiliating and degrading ways, but sexually too.
Okay. So I came across you on Twitter where you post periodically pictures of yourself. And so would that be like mostly how it happens, like in forms of pictures, or do you like video?
I've done some videos and I've posted them on xhamster.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what I try to do is with some of the girls on Twitter, some of the, I don't know, mistresses, dummies, you know, the femdom girls.
Mm-hmm.
I try and get them to go along with me taking pictures of myself and marketing them too by, I like to write on myself and dress up in like sissy clothes, and I like to look really pathetic.
Okay.
So I take pictures and like I'll hold up a sign or I'll write their name on my body and post it, and that way, and then I say, I'll include a text saying something like, I did this for Mistress so-and-so because I wanted everybody to see how she can control me.
Cool. So how long have you been engaging in this, at least on the internet or just like before the internet? How long have you been into this?
Well, I've been exposing myself for a long, long, long time. I would do it... before, I would just do it on the street, which was always kind of pretty dangerous. But I used to get some really great reactions, mostly laughter.
So that's a reaction that you would like, is laughter?
Oh, yeah, I love it.
Okay.
I also like to be, I like verbal abuse or degrading, I guess.
Okay. So when you say that you've been doing it for a long, long time, like how old were you when you decided that this was something that was interesting, exciting, enjoyable?
a little kid with my cousin.
Okay.
And she didn't seem to mind. So, yeah. And it progressed through the years. As far as the internet, it's only been, well, it's been longer than I, it's probably been 2 years now.
Okay.
But I've also, I've recently, I can't afford it, but I've recently have gone on some of the underground papers, if you will, like mm-hmm. Backpage
mm-hmm.
and Craigslist. And I've met with girls who will, in fact, I met with girls who will watch me and humiliate me and take pictures of me. And it's very exciting.
So for the most part, do you find it pretty easy to find people who are excited about it too, who are like into humiliating you, you know, giving you the reaction that you like?
I don't know. Is it easy to find? Relatively, but it's always pricey, more than I can afford. So it's always more, it's not more fun, but it's easier on Twitter, believe it or not. Because
okay.
I guess they just don't care.
So what? So aside from finding, because you said like the money is kind of a barrier to doing it as much as you'd like to. Like, do you find in your personal life that you find people who are into the same stuff? Like, have you ever been in a relationship with somebody where you got to have this sort of humiliation indulged?
No. No, I wish. I wish I could find somebody like that.
Nobody's been into it or not receptive, or have you told people?
I probably haven't told people.
Oh, okay.
I guess so.
Well, that seems interesting. What is the fear like that holds you back from telling people?
basically, I guess I'll be considered. I don't know, so perverted, and you know, all of the things that would go along with that definition, I guess.
That's interesting, because to me that seems like kind of related to the reaction that you do like, though. That whole like saying that you're bad and those sort of,
I love all that.
Yeah, it seems like it sort of goes along with it. So it seems like even if you told someone in real life and they didn't react like enthusiastically, like that still seems like you'd probably enjoy that reaction, right?
Yeah, but I probably would lose a lot of friends.
Okay, I see what you mean. So are you?
I would have to say that's probably why I don't.
Okay.
So yeah, it's almost like, I don't know. Yeah, I wouldn't want people to avoid me because of it.
Okay.
And I wouldn't know how to approach the subject to make it work.
So I find
other sources.
Have you?
It's like with the girls on Twitter that I mentioned and ones on Craigslist and Backpage. It's a given that they're going to be receptive to it.
Okay.
You know, I don't have to. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So in your regular life, nobody knows you've never come out to anybody?
Not really, that I can recall. I mean, I did, you know, when I was younger, I did.
Okay. And how did that go?
It went good, actually. it went good, but I risked getting in trouble for doing it, so... There's the whole legal aspect of it, I suppose.
Okay.
Which is definitely a deterrent.
Okay. Well, that's interesting that you bring that up, because that's actually a conversation that you and I had sort of had a little bit on Twitter, was about when your desire to be humiliated and your desire to expose yourself intersects with like whether or not somebody else might want to be a part of that. So what do you think about that? Like, so obviously there's a legal barrier that stops you from doing it just anywhere. But how do you feel about the idea of what if you did it in a space where that made somebody feel really unsafe or something like that? What do you think about that?
If I made somebody feel what? I'm sorry?
Like if it made somebody feel unsafe. Because we never, you know, we can't control other people are going to react.
I would hate that. I would never want to do that.
Okay.
That's not at all what I'm about. I don't want to. I mean, I'm as harmless as a fly.
Okay.
You know, I would never. It's all about me being humiliated and laughed at, and me being made the fool, not to scare anybody or anything like that.
Okay. And what do you think is the underlying like feeling there? Like what about that makes you happy or excited or whatever? What is it about the humiliation that appeals to you?
I think it's the extreme attention that I get.
Okay.
And it's funny you brought that. I mean, I actually, trust me, I question myself about this more often than you might think, why I do this. But it's at that moment, well, it's, you know, it's sexual because I'm playing with myself. And I want to share that anyways. I'm actually playing with myself. I started to just a moment ago.
Okay.
It's like total attention. And then I like the shock and awe aspect of it.
Okay.
It's like, oh my gosh, how could somebody do something like that? Kind of, I love that reaction. It's like, what are you doing? I love that reaction. Don't ask me why, I just do.
Do you ever seek that?
I can't answer why.
Okay. Do you ever seek that reaction like in any other way? Like, do you have any other like hobbies or interests or stuff like that that is also just like, oh my god, that other people react big to?
Especially in this past year, exposing myself and masturbating in front of others is almost like the tip of the iceberg.
Okay.
It's starting to go a lot deeper. I feel like I'm going down the rabbit's hole.
Okay. So can you share any examples?
My gosh. I'm not sure if it's going to happen, but I think it is. This Friday, I'm supposed to meet a mistress. And I can say anything, right?
Yeah. By all means, we're on the internet.
And she's going to have some people over, and I'm going to, should I be crude or should I be, I guess I'll try and make it. How do you make it sound nice? I don't know. She's going to have some people over. And I'm going to come and everybody's going to watch me have sex with a guy.
Okay. Have you ever done that before?
Not really.
Oh, so this will be the first time?
Pretty much.
And how do you feel about that? Is that degrading to you? Is that exciting to you? Like,
both.
Okay.
Yep. And they're going to take pictures and video me, take videos.
And how do you feel about having, like, the pictures and videos out there? Like, just knowing that they will exist, they will be out there. Do you like that?
I do.
Okay.
However, there is a however to that.
Okay.
I mean, the people in, I think the term is vanilla life, mm-hmm. in my real world.
Yeah.
I would never want them to find them or see them. But I don't know. That's why I guess the same result would occur
if they ever came across those pictures that I have on Twitter and stuff.
But, yeah, it seems to me like the fact that you hide it is sort of counterintuitive to me, because it seems like you would get that much more attention, like, from talking to vanilla people about it. Like, they would be that much more reactive. They would be that much more likely to call you names and that sort of thing.
Truth. Just that comment arouses me.
Okay. That's the idea of freaking everybody out?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, but then it would spill over into family and,
okay,
you know, and people who are really, really close in my life.
Okay.
And I'm sure that would, the ultimate reaction to that would be alienation. And I'll probably, you know what I mean? I mean,
yeah.
I think I'd end up being a pretty lonely person.
Okay, I see what you mean. So when you talk about, like, you're going to be meeting up with this mistress and stuff, like, so what about that scenario, like, the people watching you, just the fact that you'll be having sex with a guy, like, what is it about that scenario that is what you're looking forward to?
Everybody watching me.
Okay.
And laughing and taking pictures and talking about me.
So, like, when this podcast goes up, for instance, like, it would be something that you would actually really enjoy if people, like, you know, tweeted at you about, you know, they thought that this was crazy or whatever.
Yeah, I'd like that.
That you'd like that? Okay, so this is a shout out. First of all, just interrupt the conversation for just a moment and tell everybody who's listening enrapturedly that you should hit up PhotoPig on Twitter with your thoughts about this. So other than, like, back pages and Craigslist and that sort of stuff, like, have you tried going into just, like, the BDSM and kink scenes and just, you know, finding other people who have, you know, various other kinks that might be compatible with yours?
Yeah. There's a website. It's called collarme.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a couple of opportunities there as well. But they're expensive.
Oh, they are?
And I can't really afford it.
Okay.
So I'd have to save up for it. I mean, relatively speaking, they're expensive.
How about, like, FetLife?
Yep, that's another one, but I haven't really delved into that. The one I've been spending a lot of time on is collarme.com.
Okay. And is
but
there...
I know FetLife. In fact, I just joined that one a couple of weeks ago, but I haven't really gone back to it yet.
Okay. So, like, on Collar Me, what kind of other people are you finding over there?
I'm finding people that'll do all sorts of things. I mean, I'm totally into being humiliated in front of other people.
Do you like pain too?
In a sexual way. You know, I like, you know, I mean, during the course of the humiliation, I get to masturbate in front of them too.
Okay. Do you like physical pain as well? Like, if somebody were to beat you or anything? No. That's not fun? Okay.
No, I don't like that. I don't. There's some basic things that I. It's weird. I mean, I can only imagine what's running through your head. But I look at it this way: the things that I like are very innocent, and the only one who gets hurt, if you want to use that word, but is me, in a way. Like, I would never. You know, I'm not into. I look at a lot of websites,
mm-hmm.
But I would almost. I don't spend a lot of time looking at pornography, quote unquote. I spend an awful lot of time looking at girls in sexy clothes, and I fantasize that they're. I look at them and I masturbate and I fantasize that they're watching me.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're watching me have sex, performing sex on a guy. Weird, huh?
Well, I think it's really interesting. And one of the things that I wanted to definitely talk to you about is, like, so obviously you are a little bit more into this than a lot of people, but I think most people are more into exhibitionism and voyeurism than they might first think. I mean, I think anybody who looks at porn is a little bit, you know, obviously a voyeur, and anybody who, you know, I think most, what do you think about that?
Oh, I agree. I mean, honestly, you may think this is an unfair comment, but where I live is, it's a young professional city, and I live in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And there, you know, from Thursday night through Sunday night, the girls are all like drop dead gorgeous, but they're that way on purpose because they're exhibition. You know, they're exhibiting themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are. These girls are like gorgeous, hot, and that's exactly the message they're trying to send. So I think that's a form of exhibitionism.
Okay.
And they're all over the place. I mean, on Fridays, the first Friday of the month, we actually shut down one of the streets, and it turned into like a medway where the bars are open and people just spilling into the street with drinks and dancing. And it's pretty cool, actually.
That sounds fun.
It's fun. It is. Yeah. I mean, I live in paradise, but I think, you know, I think, why does a girl wear hot short dresses and low cut V's, necks and stuff? I mean, there's only one reason why she's doing it, in my opinion.
Okay.
I mean, you know, she wants to be looked at.
Well, I mean,
do you agree or disagree?
On that particular point, I am like 50% with you. I think that, you know, people want to be sexy, and I think that people want to be viewed as sexual objects more often than they might acknowledge. And I think that it is very taboo to admit that you want to be objectified, even if it's just in the context of, like, you know, your partner, you know, calling you, you know, their little whore or whatever. But I also think that, you know, women might just dress for themselves, not necessarily for other people to look at. Because, I mean, there's certainly times where, like, if you're dressing for the weather, you know, it's like it makes more sense to wear shorts and a little shirt. Like, there's also some of that, too. So I think it's a mixture.
True. Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I agree.
So
yeah, I'm not saying all the time, but I think in some regards, you can, the ones who are doing it because they want to be looked at are, I think, quite obvious, as opposed to me, they are. I mean, I could look at a girl and I mean, if a girl wants to look slutty, she wants to look slutty. If a girl wants to look hot, she could be hot and still be admired and kind of like, I don't know, with a respectful thought, I guess.
Okay.
You know, and kind of like real, kind of like looking, you know, you'd look at her and say, wow, hot, but, don't touch.
Okay.
And then there's some others just like, wow, you know, it's like, you wouldn't think that, you know, you're thinking, I don't know.
So but, when you talked about like the kind of like images that you're interested in are not necessarily all that always kinky, they might be just, you know, like attractive women. But do you find the idea of women being degraded attractive too? Like if you found a partner who also wanted to be humiliated, would that be fun for you or would that be a killjoy?
No, I think that would be fun.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be a blast. I don't know how, I guess we'd have to do role playing, you know.
Like, would you be able to switch back and forth?
Could I?
Yeah. Do you think you'd be able to, like, dominate and humiliate somebody else?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, but as long as there's no pain involved. I mean, I'm not into kiddie stuff. I'm not into, you know, I'll use the terms that are used out there. I'm not into kiddie stuff. I'm not into medical needles. I'm not into blood. I'm not into scat.
Okay.
any of those things. I'm not into pain. I'm just into humiliation.
All right.
But to a very deep degree.
And so for you, like, would it be preferable, like, in an ideal world, would your partners be DOMs, or would they also be in humiliation and degradation as well? Like, being humiliated.
Switch. I think the I'm learning. Mm-hmm. The term, I guess, is switch.
Okay.
Meaning both. When it's my turn, I'd like her to dominate me and just call me, like, names, and I love being called names, and making me do things and laughing at me and stuff. And then in return, you know, when it was her turn, I mean, if she wanted the same thing in return, then I could do it. That'd be fine. That'd be fun.
Do you think that you'd be better at it than most people because you've been on the other side?
Probably. Probably. I think so. I don't know. You said I could say anything. Right?
Yes, you totally can say anything.
My level of self being degraded in front of others is, like, really deep. I like to be spit on, and I like to be peed on. But like I said, no scat.
Okay.
I can't go there.
And what kind of insults are the ones that are most interesting for you to hear? Like, what names have you been called that are particularly exciting?
All sorts of things, like, you fucking faggot, or look at you, what an idiot. Oh my God, look at you, you're so fucking stupid. Oh my God, I'm gonna tell everybody what you're doing. What a jerk. All sorts of things like that. You're a loser.
And you have no idea, like, why your reaction to that is so positive. And a lot of people, that would, like, shut them down. But for you, that, like, revs your engine. So you feel like you might have maybe some inkling as to the origins of some of this? Like, there might be some ideas?
Yeah, I think there's got to be, in my mind, there's a connection somewhere, because it goes back to my childhood. There was 3 different times I was sexually molested, and I'm sure that there's, I don't know, that has to play into it. You know, I haven't opened up my mind to anybody to any degree to really figure it all out, at least not yet. But I think that is definitely a factor.
So it seems like you took a thing that was sort of outside of your control, and then you took control of it. So in your life now, you are asking for a particular outcome, and people are giving you that particular outcome, and then you have, like, this feeling of, like, gratification from it now. So you can sort of, like, have mastery over whatever happened before.
Yeah, I like that. I like that analogy of it. In a warped way, I'm sure, but still, it's instead of always being angry, and I turned it into something to make me feel good.
That's awesome that you found a way that seems like to.
Well, in a way, it's awesome. I mean,
yeah. It's awesome that you found a thing that makes you happy.
Yeah, I love. Yeah, I can't even put into words how much I love being degraded and humiliated sexually in front of people. It's like an incredible orgasm, for sure. But, you know, society doesn't accept it, so it's not good in that aspect.
What do you mean when you say society doesn't accept it? Like other than, like, the legal ramifications of, like, you know, flashing or whatever, like, have you actually had anybody come back at you and react really negatively? In a way that didn't make you happy?
Yes.
Okay.
And this is another awkward moment here.
Okay.
Well,
you know, only say what you feel comfortable saying.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's so many facets to my story, but in this past year is when I started seeking out people from Backpage or Craigslist or something.
Mm-hmm.
And anyways, the very first time I did it, which was in February of last year, there was two girls, and I met them in a hotel room, and it was like incredibly fun. We did so many nasty things, and I loved it. And they were perfect in what they did, and what I mean, they were calling me names, and they were making me masturbate, and they were putting things in my butt, and I mean, it was like total humiliation. That was amazing. And they took pictures. Well, they sent the pictures. They sent a couple of the pictures to me on my cell phone. And my now ex-wife saw the pictures.
Ooh.
So it ended my marriage.
Oh, okay.
And not only did it end my marriage, it ended my relationship. It ended my relationship with my stepkids. That was my second marriage. And it ended my relationship with them. They don't know the details.
Yeah.
And that actually stemmed over, that even overflowed into nieces and nephews. So I lost this big segment of my family because of all this.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, there's definitely ramifications and consequences, I guess. And that being said, so the question is probably begged, why do I still do it? I don't know. I know I still love it.
Well, have you tried like any relationships with any of the people that, you know, will indulge you on this? Like, other than, you know, hiring somebody who, you know, they're going to be there and they're going to do their job and that sort of thing. But, you know, have you ever considered coming out to someone that you were dating, or to look specifically for a dating partner who's also into this?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I wouldn't know how to go about doing that. I mean, it's...
You need to go back on FetLife. When we're done, you're going back on FetLife. There is someone for you on there.
Really?
There absolutely is. I can think of like several people. Yes, very much so. I don't know what city you're in, but I feel like the internet will facilitate it. So this is also a call out to the internet, to anybody in that area who feels down for this. We got somebody who's single and obviously is going to get down for some freaky stuff. So we're going to help you out. We're going to make this happen. So
cool.
I want to know a little bit more about, so when you're setting up the stuff that's coming up now, like, I mean, do you need exhibitionism? Do you need this to get off? Or is it just like a thing that you really like separately?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to say to that. I mean, do I need it to get off? I mean, I've been using it to get off. If not directly, then certainly in my voyeuristic, you know, internet, pretty girl seeking fantasies, mm-hmm. and masturbating. So, and I tend to do that a lot.
Okay.
I mean, I know it's way out of proportion, but I mean, I masturbate at least once a day.
I don't think that's that weird.
Two or three.
I'm just going to put that out there. I don't think that's that weird, that frequency. Like, sorry, I guess I'm supposed to tell you that it's weird. No, I think it's okay. So,
wow. That's nice to hear.
So if you were to, you know, hook up with a partner just for whatever circumstance and there was no kink about it, there was no humiliation, there was nothing like that involved, would you still find that enjoyable? Like if just it was an attractive person and you're both, you know, like into it, like would that be enough?
Wow, I mean, trust me when I tell you, I have a lot of baggage. What I shared with you about my ex-wife just finally coming across the pictures, prior to that, she and I hadn't been, we hadn't been sexual for years.
Mm-hmm.
And I have my own, so I feel weird. I mean, I feel like I have to relearn a relationship with a girl all over again.
Okay.
And so it's weird. It's, she got involved with, I don't know. I don't want to go off in a different direction really, but, one of the reasons or the biggest reason why she and I kind of grew apart and weren't intimate anymore is she got a strong hold on her Christianity.
Okay.
And started shutting doors and questioning and judging, and it just that kind of drove a wedge in between the into the relationship from my side anyways, and we basically grew apart. And so this has filled my, you know, this whole new world of it's not new, but I certainly jumped into it with both feet, for sure, and arms and head and body, and jumped into it with everything. But, yeah, so to actually, I haven't had sex with a girl in literally years. So that scares me, that I would have trouble doing it. I don't know. I've never been with a girl to try that in a long time. So
if it were up to you, if you could choose, like in some sort of magical universe where we get to choose things like this, would you rather find someone who was 100% into and willing to dominate you sexually, like, and that was just like your dynamic, and you just, whenever the two of you were intimate, that meant them humiliating you, that sort of thing.
A woman. I miss the whole aspect of having sex with a woman.
Okay.
All of it.
Or would you rather be in another like vanilla relationship, that, you know, someone was like willing to like sometimes go along with it, but you know, you had like the relationshipy stuff was more, you know, in tune, like outside of the sex itself, that person was more of like a partner and a friend and that sort of thing. Which one is more important to you?
Which one? I would want a holistic relationship.
Okay.
You know, I mean, as much as I love my kink, I also, you know, I mean, I want friendship. I want, you know, I want attraction. I want to go out to dinner. I want to go to a movie with somebody, you know. I want to experience life. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I would want the vanilla life too.
I think the moral that I keep coming back to, what keeps coming back to my head, is how much you need to go back on FetLife. Because it is filled with people who are all about this. So I really, 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 really want you to go do that when we're done talking.
but you've seen the pictures of me on Twitter. I mean, I'm no young, good-looking guy. I'm,
I think you need to go back on FetLife. I think that will make you feel better about this whole thing. For anybody who's not super familiar, who's listening, like, the beautiful thing about the BDSM scene in general and kink positivity and all that sort of stuff is these are open-minded people who are all about like experiences and having a mental connection with someone. And the types of beauty you see there are so much broader. The conventions of like what kind of bodies are okay to be sexual are just exploded, and the variety of people that, you know, are, you know, regaled as being attractive is so much bigger. And that is one of the amazing things about the BDSM scene is, you know, it's
uh-huh. It sounds like I'm listening to you. I'm thinking, wow, really? There's really such a world out there?
We explode the conventions of sexuality in general by going into the kink scene. Like, we're already saying, look, these like really predictable, goal-oriented ideas about sexuality are not our thing. They're not doing it for us. We want more than this. Like, it's bigger than this. And that includes ideas about what bodies are okay to be attractive. So you're going to see people that are hairier and people who are bigger and people who have, you know, different shades of skin and like all sorts of different varieties. And like, so, you know, when I see types of beauty out there that are not regularly represented in like magazines, I know mm-hmm. that there is somebody in the kink scene who is wearing like some crazy collar and, you know, latex getup who is rocking that shit. Like, the people who are models at the fetish balls are not, you know, just like cookie cutter one after another the same at all. So uh-huh. like, I want to definitely emphasize that for both you and anybody else listening. So, yeah.
Well, that sounds good. I'm definitely going to go back and peruse Fetlife.
Cool.
I know that this is shallow. I don't know if I'm mainstream on this thought or selfish, but I totally admit, I mean, I love younger women, younger girls. I mean, you know, in my mind, 25, I mean, not exclusively, but hey, I love looking at girls in their early 20s up through, if it's a good looking woman, I mean, you know, up through like 45, even I've seen great looking 50-year-old women, but I am not attracted to an older looking woman who's let herself go and doesn't consider herself attractive. You know what I mean? I mean, that's pretty shallow, but
well,
I guess I need to be physically attracted.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you're going to like what you're going to like. I think one of the sources of disenchantment and disappointment for a lot of people is based on that sort of movie idea that, and take this how you will. I'm sorry if this sounds, picking on you or whatever, but like the story is sold to men, especially white men, a lot that like what they look like doesn't matter as much as, you know, perhaps like how much money they have or something like that. And that if you have enough or whatever, you should be able to access women that look like whatever you want. And that, you know, the expectation should be that women look like a certain thing, and that expectation isn't necessarily placed on men in to the same degree. So, I mean, there's something about, you know, being realistic in like thinking about more about what you have to offer a partner than necessarily what you can get from them, perhaps, is really more the thing.
So you're saying that it's a two-way street, no matter. Well, I appreciate you saying that. You know, honestly, I could probably talk to you for hours because I've never had the opportunity to talk to a girl, female, about any of this. So that's very interesting to hear, and it makes total sense. I mean, why should the guy get all the candy? I mean, he's got to be able to come to the table with a little sweetness himself.
That's a good way to put it. That's adorable.
Right? I mean, that's basically what you're saying. I mean, no matter how much money I have, if I'm ugly or just unappealing, you know, maybe certainly nothing would be lasting.
Well, I wouldn't say, you know, I wouldn't focus on things like, you know, pejorative terms. It'd be more about, rather than when we conceptualize what kind of partners we're looking for, rather than thinking about who we want them to be, mm-hmm. I think what's more productive is for us to focus on being the kind of partner that would attract that person. Like,
how cool is that?
You know,
what a great thought.
Yeah, be the bait that would snare you in, you know, like.
For me, I've never, I mean, selfishly, I'm sure, but I've never really thought of it in that aspect, but it's a great thought. And actually, that's awesome.
All right, so we are coming up on about an hour now. So I want to check in with you about how you're feeling right now, because you haven't talked to a lot of people about this. How do you feel having been so open?
Wow. I feel kind of refreshed. And I mean that sincerely, because you're absolutely right. I haven't talked to really anybody about this. I did actually, Murphy's Law, but I was seeing a psychiatrist this year also, early on this year, and it was a woman. I find it easier to talk to women, and she's the only other person that I've really spoken to about this, so isn't that interesting? You ready for this?
Okay.
She retired. So that was short lived. And the only, I stopped looking, because the only psychiatrists or psychologists who are out there are males. And I don't think I'm ready to do that just yet.
Yeah.
But I certainly have thoroughly enjoyed speaking with you tonight. You made me feel at ease to discuss it, and you've actually, I don't know, you shed this different light on it. It's positive. So I think it's been great.
Yeah, I'm very, very grateful that you were willing to talk to us, because you're being very real about a lot of stuff, and I super appreciate your upfrontness and your willingness to delve into all this stuff that you didn't need to share, but did. And I think that it'll be really helpful for a lot of people. And it was certainly illuminating for me. So I found it very, very helpful. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, you're welcome. And yeah, I mean, I hope I didn't like just totally unload and
no,
went beyond what you were anticipating or hoping for.
It was on point. And so to bring it back in, like, if someone listens to this and they're like, I want to go humiliate that man, how can they contact you? How can people find more about you? How can people find your pictures, etc.?
Yeah, I am your photo pig.
Okay. So people should go and tweet, I am your photo pig. And they will be able to ask you to do things and say nasty stuff, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Fantastic.
I would love that. Like I said, I get the girls on there more than, I mean, I'm happy that some of these girls, actually two girls on Twitter and recently have gotten me to actually masturbate at work in my cubicle and take a picture of it and post it on Twitter. It's dangerous, I know, but very exciting. So, yeah.
So now possibly you'll get some more people. So that'll be fun. So thank you so much for talking to us today. This was super fun for me, and sounds like you had a decent time as well.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much. This is great. It was great for me. I mean, you've actually shared some things with me that one, I never thought of in that light, from that side of things. And you've kind of gave me a sense that, yeah, I'm weird, but maybe not way, I don't know, maybe, I mean, I guess there's weirder. I guess there's always weirder.
Definitely always weirder, yeah. Awesome. And thank you to everyone who is listening, and have an awesome day. Thank you for listening to Sex with Timmery. Sex with Timmery, the podcast, is produced by Nathan Karuna. Our opening music is by Charles Evans. Our closing music is by Hanya Lee. Be sure to check out sexwithtimmery.com, Sex with Timmery on Facebook, and tweet at me, Timmery_LEIGH. If you're a fan of the show, if you like it at all, a little bit maybe even, rate and review us on iTunes and tell your friends all about it. And thank you.